Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Anti-war activist and politician Tom Hayden has died. While Hayden became more conservative later in life, longtime legendary WBAI broadcaster Bob Vass came to know him in his early days.
Well, I have a little history with him, you know. I first heard about him as a result of a movie he made, or a movie that he was in about his work organizing voters in Newark, called The Troublemakers, and I recommend it. It's a little all over the place, but it tells us more or less of how these guys went into Newark, and they just got very apathetic people to see that their chances were better if they were part of the electoral process than if they weren't. And so he organized people to vote. And when Abby told me that he was working with Tom Hayden, I thought that was great. When there was a riot in Newark, or let's call it an insurrection, or let's call it a government riot, because it wasn't really a riot until they called the National Guard in. And then the windows started being broken and the looting began. And it became very difficult to buy a bottle of milk. And this was a town with a lot of people who needed milk for the baby. So Abby said, let's collect food. Now, Abby had started something called Freedom House. This is Abby Hoffman I'm talking about, which was a series of collectives where Southern crafts, things like pocketbooks and blankets and clothes, were handcrafted little bits of cabinetry and sold up north in Greenwich Village to raise money for the voter registration drive. And it was, you know, like a more humane three-sided trade. And it was something. And then Abby gave it to itself and got it back as a place where food could be collected. And all night long on the radio, we asked people to go down to Freedom House on, I think it was West 3rd Street in the village, and drop off, you know, cans of dry food, dry milk, you know, non-perishable items that people could sustain life with. And by the time morning came, the doorway to this little shop was packed sky high with boxes and cans and boxes of rice and, you know, all the kind of things that people could eat. So we rented a truck and we drove to Newark. And I met with Abby and Tom Hayden, and Abby said, well, I'm going in there with the food. And Tom Hayden said to me, who's he? And Abby tried to explain that I was, at least as responsible as he was for collecting the food the night before. And he said, well, you stay here and watch the truck. I said, no, I want to go in there and see the people that we're giving the food to. And he said, what? You won't accept revolutionary discipline?
Okay, what year was that? When was this?
This was 67, I think.
Okay, so let's move on to Chicago. You were there, weren't you?
Well, I was. And then Tom Hayden, Abby, and seven other people were indicted for wrecking the Democratic convention, they thought.
The Chicago riots at the DNC in 1968 were protests over the war in Vietnam, and the Chicago 7, which was first the Chicago 8 trial, included Black Panther activist Bobby Seale. The trial took place after Richard Nixon took office in November of 1968.
And there was a fierce trial, and there were tape recordings afterwards of how Richard Nixon had called and spoken to the judge and said, "Let's hang those Jew bastards." And it was one of the best times and the worst times of my life. This was when the phrase "the whole world was watching" came into common usage. My friends were able to sit in New York and see me being clubbed on the head in Chicago, and that was an earth-uniting moment. And of course, all of the defendants, and I guess I could recall all of their names, John Freund, Jerry Rubin, Tom Hayden, Abby Hoffman, and of course Bobby Seale, who got tied up and bound and gagged in the courtroom, which was another American first.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring?
Well, I remember it's hard to forget how Bobby Seale was insisting that he represent himself, and how the judge refusing to let him do that simple constitutional right. You see someone tied up, bound and gagged in a courtroom, blood coming out of the place where he's manacled. You know it's a serious moment, and it was there, right there in front of everyone. The whole world was indeed watching that. Collins, Arlo Guthrie, all testified on Country Joe, all testified on behalf of the defendants. And if you remember, there was a movie made about many movies, actually, but one in particular made about it called C-10, because actually 10 people went to jail. The lawyer, the first, where they sent the lawyers to jail for contempt of court.
Including Bill Kunstler, he went to jail, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, they raised their bail pretty quickly. But, and then Chicago 7 traveled around the country, although they weren't supposed to, raising money to pay for the costs of the trial.
In 1971, Hayden met Jane Fonda. They married in 1973. They were married for 17 years and had a son named Troy. The two traveled to Hanoi and brought home prisoners of war. Hayden went into mainstream politics in the late 70s. He was in the state Senate in California. He said even though his life was satisfying, he missed the 60s and always would. Even though Bob Fass admired Hayden for his organizational skills early on, he says the way he changed over the years was very different from his radical roots.
Then he became very, he had a newsletter that I think may still be published. He had his views. He thought that when the troops came back from Iraq, they were going to be set loose on the dissidents. And then I think he revised his opinion. He saw that the dissidents in the shape of Bernie Sanders at all was too strong and too inspired. The interesting combination of rigidity and radicalism in this guy. He was pretty American, as far as I could see. And toward the end, I didn't like him as much, I guess is what I mean to say, because when Abby was underground, he was afraid to see him. He didn't want to be discredited by this coke dealer on the lam. That was what we interpreted from it. And when Abby died, he had his secretary make a statement. He didn't say anything. I don't know what went on between the two of them, but I thought there was a certain degree of human solidarity that he found unimportant.
Bob Fass says, rest in peace, Tom.
Sorry we never got to take that long walk on the beach.
Tom Hayden suffered a stroke a year and a half ago. It is said he fell ill at the DNC in July in Philadelphia. This is where I spoke with him in advance of Hillary Clinton being nominated as the Democratic candidate for president. We spoke in the midst of unrest from Sanders supporters who said the DNC was rigged, that they rigged the nomination. This is when WikiLeaks first released emails showing the Democratic National Committee was trying to undermine Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign just after the resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz as campaign chair. Tom Hayden spoke of the Bernie Sanders campaign and what it accomplished.
He was able to deliver what Occupy Wall Street did not deliver. He was able to deliver a mass movement making demands which are necessary to politics, and that was very difficult for the Zuccotti Park people to ever agree on the idea of a demand. He is responsible for leading a movement where people were willing to put that sentiment into reality, and it will have after effects that we can't predict, but obviously there are going to be impacts on the platform. The party hierarchy has been threatened to change or face further challenges. I think it all depends on Bernie's next move will have to be to do everything possible to elect Hillary Clinton. And my personal opinion is that's because the Supreme Court has more after effects than even a presidential election. There's three or four possibilities in the next year for a new Supreme Court. And I'm old enough to know what that means. You get yourself 30 years of running room. That's why the conservatives are absolutely desperate. They'll do everything they can to block it. There will be some dirty tricks in the election, attempts at sabotaging the vote in many places like Maricopa County. There may be manipulated violence either against police or among terrorist organizations because they're political as well. And we've got to be, we're nearing the victory line after a very long march through the institutions, and we have to secure and consolidate our base right now and hold on through what the hell is going to happen in the next 2 months.
Tom Hayden in late July at the DNC in Philadelphia. Today, The Nation magazine published Tom Hayden's most recent submission to the magazine, which said, "So here we are at the end of one generation on the left and the rise of another. Both camps and the party will need each other in November. We still need the organizing of a united front of equals to prevail against the Republicans. It will take a thorough process of conflict resolution to get there, not a unilateral power wielding by the usual operatives. It's up to all of us." Tom Hayden was 76 years old. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.